Okay, this week on the Arcade Age podcast, we are going to be talking about Cold War video games. And yeah, I mean, this sort of comes from a podcast that we did a while ago. It was the Missile Command one, right?
One of our first podcasts. It was like number 3 or 4 or 5 or something like that. Yeah.
Was it that far ago?
Yeah,
it was,
dude,
a while ago.
Because somebody posed a question.
It was a while ago.
It was like a year ago.
Oh, Shane, can you give me some other Cold War video games, Cold War arcade games, specifically arcade games? And I was like, yeah, sure, there's plenty of them. And you guys like stumped me, or I was like put on the spot at the time, and I was embarrassed. So now this is our revenge episode.
So now we have to redeem ourselves and talk about, because the Cold War, I mean, really, video games are born during, well, I guess not the height, but born during the Cold War.
I would say they're born. I mean, when you look at the way we look at it historically, you know,
70s,
Higginbotham is messing around with Tennis for Two on the oscilloscope at Brookhaven National Labs in 1958, guys.
Yeah.
True. So that's like, that is Cold War. Hike,
yeah.
So
yeah, it's just Cold War.
Even though it
might
not be a video game, it was an oscilloscope game.
Yeah.
The concept that we look at it as comes out of the Cold War. Yeah.
Well, and also, I mean, if you want to really be technical, video games are possible because of the Cold War, because of the development of microchips and the proliferation
of
it, which were made for military applications. So.
Space War, the PDP computer out of MIT, you know, same thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
So on the microcomputer that was
so
the size of a
building. Game I'm going to throw out there is a game we've touched upon as well before in our Qbert podcast. And I know Zach recognized it right away. I know Chris, you did too. And that is Reactor by Gottlieb, 1982 it's released. So the entire object of this game is to cool down the core of a nuclear reactor without being pushed into the walls by subatomic particles.
Oh, that's an interesting premise.
I mean, but you can't get more Cold War than that.
Yeah,
you're
defusing
a nuclear bomb, right? So
the cabinet looks pretty cool too.
The cabinet is, for those at home listening, which is nobody,
it's
this short, stout
cabinet.
Hey,
we got 11 listeners.
Yeah.
It's this short, stout cabinet, as you guys can see. It almost reminds me of the Missile Command cabinet, being short and stout like that with this speaker grill on top.
Yeah. I feel like it reminds me of a mix of the Missile Command cabinet and then like the X-Men versus Street Fighter like speaker layout.
Now, is that a trackball
it's
in the middle?
It's got a weird top.
I believe Reactor is a trackball game.
Yeah.
You see where it says Reactor on the marquee and it lights up. It's a really pretty cabinet. Now, I had never played this game. First time I played it was, it could have been, as soon as I saw it, I yelled to all you guys
to
play it, was Galloping Ghost.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think I remember this game.
Here's some...
And I feel like it 100% was a trackball game.
Gameplay footage of it.
I've never played the arcade version, but I know there's a 2600 one. I mean, it doesn't look anywhere near this good, but the gameplay's close.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Is this the one that's kind of
a
Missile Command?
Is this one a Vector?
No.
It's Raster.
Is this the one that's kind of like a Missile Command sequel?
No.
Or am I thinking of is it like Laser Grid or something?
You're thinking of Liberator.
Liberator, that's the one. Okay.
Because the little splashy thing is kind of cool.
You have to... you're basically shooting all the particles and making sure that the compound doesn't grow in the middle.
Right.
The explosion doesn't ignite and
you're defusing a
nuclear reactor.
Yeah, and then you have the little...
Nice. This game's ringing a bell now.
Right? You remember it?
Yeah, I remember playing this.
It's
energy laser.
It's really hard.
But then you also have a like a decoy where all the little particles will fly to it.
How does this game play though, Seamus? Run me back. Is it stages that you go through where you get more and more particles as you go through the stages?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and little pieces will open. And
what me and Zach were
just... Yeah, you can hide in the little...
Me,
corners.
Zach, and Jose before Chris and Jake returned into the room. You hear the voice in the background? Like, you can make out what it's saying.
Well,
but dude,
I mean, that sounds like the
Qbert
thing.
It's Qbertese. We were just saying, it's so Qbertese. It's Gottlieb using this thing that they know again and again.
Yeah.
And what's funny is, I don't believe that this game did that well. I could be wrong. I know that I love the game.
It doesn't seem like it did. Oh my God, this came out in 82?
82.
I mean, that cabinet looks like a mid-90s cabinet.
Yeah, but so the Atari 2600 port can be played with either a joystick or a trackball. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the only
Oh, it's one and two
players.
That's
the only port of it, actually, Chris, is the 2600.
I kind of think I would like the joystick better, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I feel like it'd be easy to move around.
So under reception, it says that Tilt Magazine gave the game 93%. It's called a classic Gottlieb game that relies on physics for its gameplay, which is quite rewarding. I don't see any numbers in terms of the amount of cabinets they put out or sold for Reactor.
I'm going to guess it still wasn't that many, though.
Well, because as we talked about with Gottlieb, they're kind of like this one-hit wonder in in the video arcade because it's Qbert and like that's it. Now that doesn't mean they didn't put out great games because this is a great game, and the other game we played, which is another one of my favorite games I discovered out there, was Argus. That's also a Gottlieb game.
Good, what was really quick? What was Quantum?
Quantum is I want to say it's Atari.
It's an Atari.
It's a Color Vector.
It's Quantum, definitely Color Vector.
Quantum
Do you
is. I think Quantum though is the last Color Vector ever made.
Really?
I think that's what's famous.
I mean, that was a crispy monitor, man.
And the people who made it are the same people who held Namco and everybody hostage for Ms. Pac-Man.
Ms. Pac-Man,
right? Yeah. The same company that came out of that, those guys from...
They were just
they were from MIT or whatever else like that, wherever they were.
Yeah.
So that's... Quantum. Yeah,
they're from MIT and... Mm-hmm.
But Reactor is a really, really beautiful game. And you can't get more Cold War than defusing a nuclear reactor, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the name of the game, Reactor.
Yeah. No.
Next game I want to chat about is Capcom's 1985 mega hit Commando.
This game is awful.
The time it was probably
for the time it's amazing, Jose. And also, dude, everything that comes out after it basically just copies it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
Like, even Contra is heavily influenced by Commando.
Contra's a side scroller Commando.
So, yeah. It's released by Capcom in 1985, designed by Takuru Fujiwara. He also designs Ghosts and Goblins.
Okay.
So that's where this guy's coming
from. That's why this game's so hard.
So he's super good. So we see it says here, distributed in North America by Data East, in Europe by several companies, including Capcom, Sega, SA Sonic, and you guys see that name right there? Deeth Leisure.
Okay.
Is the same Deeth who helps us with our games here in the museum, and is the same Simon Deeth who I've been friends with for over 20 years now.
Oh, wow.
So that's his father's company in the UK.
Oh.
So what's funny is when I was doing some research for his podcast, he all of a sudden, I guess his ears were ringing. He called me. I haven't spoken to Simon in months.
Yeah.
He called me here yesterday at the museum. I was like, oh, dude, I was just thinking about you, whatever. I'm like, yo, did you know, like, I'm saying to him, does he know that his dad was one of the major, you know, leading distributing companies of Commando? And he's like, yeah, man. He's like, listen, he's like, dude, he's like, I think it was... He said Bally Midway or Williams, whatever. He's like, they gave out two watches when they released Defender, and then the distributor sold Defender for Williams. Williams gave out two, like, gold diamond-encrusted watches. One was to some guy in Texas, and the other one was to his father for being the leading distributor of Defenders in Europe.
That's really cool.
Apparently, his father literally moved 4,000 of the 50,000 total Defender cabinets ever moved. His father moved 4,000 of them into arcades in Europe and the UK.
Wow.
So that's Deeth. So obviously, they were huge. So it says right here, Commando is a critical and commercial success, becoming one of the highest grossing arcade video games in 1985, and one of the best-selling home video games in 1986. It's a run-and-gun shooter, as we all know. There's a screenshot.
And it's all over the head.
Yeah, it's a top-down.
Yeah, it's a bird's-eye view. Overhead,
you're a soldier, Super Joe, and you're basically... I always felt like you're just...
Destroying tanks. You're literally, like it says in the title, you're killing an army. You're going up against an army, or you're shooting soldiers on the ground, tanks. Nice. I think there's even... Isn't there even helicopters at one point, too?
Yeah.
You get dropped by a helicopter.
Yeah, you get dropped by a helicopter, yes.
Hey, once again... Super Contra, just start the game, drop it. Like, after you said that, now even looking at the picture, like, that looks like Super Contra, like the top-down levels.
When did Akari Warriors come out? Is that after this?
So we're going to get to that.
Akari Warriors was only a home console.
No.
That was a cab?
No, because now you brought that up. Akari Warriors is definitely an arcade, so we're going to switch from Commando to Akari Warriors here. Akari Warriors is 1986. It's a year later.
Oh, it's SNK.
SNK. Yeah.
Okay, so but the next year. It's the same game.
Yeah, just with
now,
two players.
Now, here's the other thing about Akari Warriors is that...
It's also not a great game.
No, what they do, though, is they basically...
Yo, watch the AVGN.
Yeah, we're going to pull up the AVGN version.
So it's two-player Commando, right? Top-down view.
Uh-huh.
As we said before, same as Commando. It looks better than Commando because it's a year later, right?
Yeah.
This is a one-player version now.
Commando
is an eight-way joystick.
Yeah.
Right.
This is 360 because Akari Warriors... SNK used
optical or something?
They used a freaking rotary joystick.
That's really cool.
Okay.
Dude, it's super freaking cool.
Yeah.
Dude, it's super cool because then you're twisting it and then you're turning your guy 360 to shoot behind him and everything. So how he gets the movement like that is you're clicking a rotary joystick. Rotary dial.
So you move left.
I feel like I'd rather a dial, though. I feel like that joystick with that's got to be a very awkward way to play the game. Like, again, how do you shoot then?
There's a button.
Yeah, but how are you gonna turn then you don't have 360 then. I mean, technically on paper you do, but when you turn you probably only got a 45.
That is kind of awkward.
Like with the rotary dial, like as much as I hate Tron. Like the rotary dial for those shooting parts, like, is the best they were.
I'm gonna show you what it is.
So it's in the joystick. The joystick moves up, down, left, right, and
It's one of the okay. I've seen those.
So these are really rare. Yeah. I mean, this is a redone one. So I think they originally were. I want to say they were yellow.
Okay, and they were octagonal.
Also, Seamus, why are you signed into my Google account right now?
Because you signed me into it.
That's funny.
You signed me into it to get some audio.
No, that's fine. I saw it. I was like, what?
Don't worry about it. I haven't signed up for anything under you.
Oh, no, that's fine.
The rotary itself is not in the joystick, but you're twisting.
Yeah,
you twist the joystick. Yeah.
Yes, you twist
that
the joystick.
That is weird. I've never even seen an Akari Warriors cab.
Well, like the Gyrus joystick.
But 1986 SNK, as we said.
Is this
SNK? It says right here, at the time, there were many Commando clones on the market.
Yeah.
It's a Commando
clone. Right.
As we said, was rotary joysticks.
And it was supposed to be a Rambo First Blood Part 2 license, but they couldn't get it.
They never got it.
Yeah.
But... I think what also made this game popular...
I mean, that cover also really looks like Rambo.
Yes, what made this game popular was that it came out during that movie.
Yeah,
well, the sprite also is extremely Rambo-ish.
When was the second Rambo? Was it like 84?
Don't know.
Right? I feel like it was 84.
It might have been 86.
So right here,
maybe.
Jake, SNK's model LS30 joysticks, which contain a 12-way rotary switch box.
12-way?
So it's 12-way.
That's interesting. Yeah, so you got 12 increments.
Right.
Okay.
You almost have clicks for your guy, right?
Oh well, that's one thing I was just going to ask. So it is a clicky joystick.
I believe it is
smooth. Okay, if it's clicky,
now
it's kind of
we
fun.
Have a cabinet
smooth,
up,
make
in,
it awkward.
Up in the hangar, and I forget what it is. I'm not sure if it's a game we're going to be talking about.
Rambo 2 is 85,
or it's something different, but it has yellow rotary joysticks on it.
I've seen those joysticks. Because they're the exact same shape as those, right? Very stubby.
Yeah, very stubby,
Now, is this SNK's first, big hit? Because I can't really think of anything earlier than this.
I don't know either.
Okay.
But, I mean, SNK had been around for a while anyway.
Yeah, sure.
Again, it has two sequels, which is Victory Road and Akari 3 The Rescue. All right. Play the same top-down commando clones, but all came out basically out of this, you know, Cold War, you know, thought process, you know? The next game...
Well, yeah, and the Rambo kind of...
Oh, there was the answer. It just answered your Rambo question there. Yeah. First Blood came out in 85.
In 85.
Yeah. 85. Now, the next game I want to talk about is a game that I remember coming out and I was thoroughly impressed with. And that is... And it was actually a huge success. That is 1985. So this is the year before... This is the year of Commando, the year before Akari Warriors. And this was a game called Rush and Attack.
Obviously, a
play on the words Russian attack.
Yeah.
Oh, this is Contra. That's literally the snow level of Contra. Yes.
But this predates it.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
Now,
interesting. That's cool.
Keep this in your mind. Both
it even
games
has a really
are released
great,
by who?
Konami.
Right.
Oh. Yeah, that's right.
So they're adapting. They're adopting.
I thought Commando was Capcom.
No, I'm saying Contra.
No, Russian attack.
Okay. I didn't hear you say this.
So they're adopting.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Previous stuff from Russian Attack and putting it to Contra.
Yeah.
But I absolutely love this game. The NES port is super faithful.
Well, in this first level, you're definitely in a Siberian missile base.
Right.
Yeah.
So
like
that's
you're surrounded
what
by
says.
Red stars on all the
so
missiles.
There is. Where does it say it? So, Marshall area, there's a harbor. There's an airbase and there's a Siberian camp that ends with a flamethrower operator.
That's fun.
So you are United States Special Operations Green Berets named Steve and Ben. And basically, it says right here, its name is a play on the phrase Russian attack due to its Cold War setting. Released in some countries in order to avoid that controversy as just Green Beret.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, even if you played it as Green Beret, you know you're in Siberia.
Oh, yeah.
You know
oh,
you're
yeah.
in Russian bases.
Well, it's better to be there than to be in Vietnam. The Green Berets in Vietnam play an entirely different role.
This is true.
It's a run-and-gun, run-and-slash game. Every port that was put out on was massively successful.
That's
it was put on the Atari 8-bit.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting cover. It's very Judge Dredd.
This is the ZX Spectrum box.
Yeah, like
box.
That's a very like apocalyptic looking box.
Yeah.
They later released a Game Boy Advance, Nintendo DS, Xbox 360. So let's see. In 1985, it is listed as the third most successful arcade unit of the month in Japan.
Table arcade unit. In Europe.
Europe was considered one of the first military shoot-em-ups on the market and became a major hit in arcades. Dude, it was well-received. So there you go. Here, Green Beret was well-received by critics. Mike Roberts and Eric Doyle of Computer Gamer magazine gave their arcade game a positive review, comparing it favorably with the action film Rambo First Blood Part 2, while calling it an incredibly violent game that is brilliant to play.
They're calling that an incredibly violent game, though?
This is 1985.
Well, in 85,
85?
Yeah, there was no Grand Theft Auto.
When did NARC come out?
Oh, like
89, 90.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
NARC came out late.
Never mind.
And
sorry.
NARC, and dude, the last one that we did, what was that stupid one where you had to kill all like the hostages? That came out in like the late 80s. Came out before NARC, I think, right?
Which game?
Oh, that British game that it was like you have to, like the more you torture the...
Oh, Chiller.
Oh, yeah.
That's an exit game.
That's just
pure
violence.
But for a major Konami release worldwide in arcades, this is considered really, really violent. I remember playing this game in the arcades. I loved it. And as soon as it came out on NES, I bought it right away.
It's a good port.
I still love the port. My only problem with the port, and I don't know if this is in the arcade cabinet as well, but in the port at least, for the NES, up is jump.
Oh, that blows.
And I hate like that. Up is jump.
Ew.
And I think B or A is stab.
Oh.
And the other one is when you pick up a weapon, a rocket launcher or a gun, that's the fire button.
Yeah. That's gross.
You could have made up and B the fire.
Fire, yeah.
And just given me A as jump.
That would have been better.
But up is jump on the NES for this game is because you also have to like jump over mines, and it's a little bit sketch when you're just.
Well, that makes sense on why when they switch over to Contra, the controls become a little bit more steady and easier to understand.
I'll argue till the day I die that Contra is one of the best controlling games ever made.
I think so.
On an arcade,
Now,
sorry, go ahead.
So we've been bouncing around.
Yeah.
Like, basically all of these games are like Rambo-esque or Rambo-inspired, at least Rambo 2.
Yes.
Is there a Rambo arcade game?
I feel like there has to be. There is a Rambo arcade game way late in the 2000s after Cold War.
Really?
Interesting.
Okay.
There's no Rambo arcade game in the 80s except for the Sega games. The Master System games.
Oh, that's right.
There are no arcade Rambo games. Huh.
Are those any good?
All of these are basically ripoffs of freaking Rambo.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. That there's four, I mean, at least four that we've talked about. Different Rambo, basically, games. Yeah. But
I'm
going to
go into
Rambo
another one right now, and people might think that this is controversial. Again, no one listens to this damn podcast. But I am going to say that Contra is a Cold War game.
Yeah. I'll give it to you. Yeah. I mean, they're fighting aliens, you know.
Well, they're fighting aliens. It's set in New Zealand.
Is it set in New Zealand?
I believe it's supposed to be
set in New Zealand. I always thought it was like Australia.
No, guys, I believe it's supposed to be set.
I always
thought Australia and New Zealand is the same shit.
On an island off the coast of New Zealand, I believe.
I always thought it was supposed to be Vietnam.
I'm almost sure it is. But the entire...
Oh, yeah, New Zealand.
It's set in the distant future, 2633. Red Falcon Organization have set up have set up a base on the fictional Galaga Archipelago near New Zealand.
Galuga Archipelago. Galuga. Sounds like Gulag.
Yeah.
There you go. Galuga, thank you.
Good catch
there.
Old
War game, guys.
Come on.
Archipelago near New Zealand in a plot to wipe out humanity.
And also Archipelago, the Gulag Archipelago. Right,
Two commandos, Bill Reiser and Lance Bean, of the Earth Marine Corps Contra unit, an elite group of soldiers specializing in guerrilla warfare, are sent to the island to destroy the enemy forces. What,
doesn't Contra stand for something in the game?
Don't know.
I feel like it does. No?
I don't believe it does.
Okay. I thought it did.
Also, we just have, a couple years before this, Ollie North, they ran Contra Affair. All that's going on, right?
Yeah.
This is
now is this
also the two characters on the side art, at least in the photograph, dude. They basically look like
Sylvester.
They're supposed to look like Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Now was this before the Iran-Contra thing? Because I know they renamed Super C.
No.
Super Contra is named Super C in the United States.
Yeah.
To avoid that.
No. The Iran-Contra affair is.
That's
84, 85, 86.
Okay.
This comes
out
in
87. This is 88.
This comes out in 87.
87, okay.
But people might not think it is, but I definitely think this is a Cold War game. See, here, look. The cover illustration of Ocean's Greiser ports were inspired by different poses of actor Arnold Schwarzenegger from the film Predator. So you have, like, you know, video games imitating films, of course, but I think this is a Cold War game. I still think, and will always say, that's the arcade version. Notice the color difference. I will say to this day that this is one of the greatest games ever made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm never going to fight.
We're all going to be with that.
Yeah. I will say now this is probably going to be even more controversial than the actual, if this is a Cold War game. Mm-hmm. I think that the NES port is way better than the arcade game. I think it's two completely different games. I mean, they're the same game.
They feel different.
Completely different.
Yeah, they feel entirely different.
I'm not going to poo-poo that statement because I know how big of a hit this was this continues to be in the retro gaming collecting, you know?
Oh, yeah, you can't touch one
culture.
For $45-$50.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think...
It feels great.
I don't think
that's
controversial. I might even agree with you, but
it feels
great
on the controller too.
Oh,
it feels great on the NES controller. It started the Konami code craze, right?
Yeah.
But I do love the arcade.
It's one of the best controlling games.
It is hands down.
It's so easy.
But now, do you like the arcade? Obviously, you started to play because we have one now for about a year.
Yeah, I like the arcade. I think it's way faster but slower at the same time.
It's more visually pleasing,
yeah,
I would say.
It's very much more visually pleasing, but wouldn't you agree that, like if you're playing Contra on the NES, I'd say each level probably takes you, like, 3 straight minutes of just going, right?
Oh,
you
yeah.
die. It's like 30 seconds to like beat the level.
That's
like,
fair.
Like on the cabinet, they're just like half the size of the level.
It doesn't feel as intense.
It doesn't feel as intense, but I feel like it's way easier to die on
yeah,
the cabinet.
Which is odd.
Yeah, where yeah. when you're at home and you're just playing on the port, you could kind of, you could jump ways. Oh, and that's another thing. I'm pretty sure jump is up. Is it not?
Yeah.
No.
On the cabinet?
Does it have a jump button?
On the cabinet?
You sure there's a jump button?
I don't recall.
You know what? I don't know. That's actually really...
I don't know if ours has a jump
I
button.
Have to look at that, actually, guys.
It might. Ours might have a jump button, but for some reason, I remember the jumping mechanics on the cabinet are not very good. Like, you don't go into the tight
and then
ball.
You
go into, like...
And then going down always kind of felt... awkward.
That was a jump button. There's
a
jump
fire
button.
And jump.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it just it feels weird. It doesn't feel nearly as like.
It's not as smooth as on the NES.
No.
Absolutely not. No, yeah. I agree with you there 100%. The next game I would like to talk about is a game I will probably dedicate an entire episode to at
one
some
day.
Point in time, one uh-huh. day, because it happens to be one of my favorite games of all time.
It's a great game.
But it is definitely a Cold War game, and that is 1989's Capcom's Strider.
Okay.
So it's set in the dystopian future in 2048.
I feel like this is more controversial than
where a mysterious dictator known as the Grandmaster rules over the world.
I don't know, bro. It's called the Kazakh Soviet Socialist.
Right.
That's,
so,
that's fair.
Kazakhstan begins his mission by infiltrating the Grandmaster's capital as the Kazakh Soviet Socialist Republic, a federation referred to as Eastern European, which became the imperial capital of the Russian Empire by the year 2048. This is a Cold War game.
Okay, no, that's fair.
This is a freaking Cold War game. If you look at the opening sequence of Strider...
To be fair, I've never played the arcade game.
What?
So I don't...
So what have you played? The Genesis
version?
Genesis version,
it's the same.
Oh, it's the same.
Well, but I don't know, like, the story. Because the Genesis version doesn't have, like, story cutscenes or anything.
Okay, so...
Or maybe I'm just not good enough to get to them.
The first stage...
It is a hard game.
It could be that.
The first stage, you might as well be in a futuristic St. Petersburg.
That's fair.
You know what I'm saying? Like...
You are in a general assembly at the when you face the boss, and then everyone in the Politburo turns into a giant, like, dragon, would you call it?
They come to become like an insect dragon? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the second stage... So this is the first stage. I mean, dude, you're...
Oh, man, I haven't heard that in so long.
Mean, ching, ching.
This is St. Petersburg.
You're in a futuristic St. Petersburg.
Yep.
The second stage...
God bless you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
The second stage, you might as well be in... That
guy's
looking
like
Gorbachev.
Yeah, see, I've never gotten to the cutscene.
Yeah.
The cutscene, that guy's looking like Gorbachev. He looks like Gorbachev. Come on.
Yo, no, he does.
I mean, come on.
Future
Second
Gorbachev.
Scene, you might as well be in a future Siberia.
Yeah,
futuristic Siberian base.
True,
because you're in all this, you know,
trenches
snow,
and
ice,
snow.
Trenches.
Yeah,
and these like
try to get to that
stuff.
Boss fight, though.
I mean, the sounds of this game, the colors of this game, the play itself, the laser sword or whatever it's called.
It gives
the
off
laser, the laser
blade,
sword, yeah.
It gives off everything that you would expect it to be like the Soviet Union and a futuristic Soviet
but
Union.
But also just I feel like everything about this as far as being I think this is a CPS1 game board, A9. It's a JAMA, I know. I feel like for that time this game is just absolutely stunning.
It's criminally underrated. I don't think
it's
a lot of people
criminally
know
underrated.
What Strider is.
Really and what's funny is it was all over arcades when it first came out. Now, the problem with it is the replay value wasn't that great because you can get through it. If you get good at it, you can get through the whole
sitting.
Thing in 20 minutes, one quarter, right? So what's funny about this is when we first started the arcade and I was like, I really want a Strider. So I got an empty Strider cabinet. No board set in it. Monitor worked fine. And when I finally found a board set, I don't even think you guys wanted. I paid $50 for the cabinet, empty, with a working monitor.
Wow.
Harnessed up, everything. Control panel, beautiful. $50 for the whole cabinet.
It's not bad.
That's great.
Would I pay like $600 for the...
I paid $450 for the board set.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because people threw them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's criminally underrated, I feel like.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
No, no. Did you ever play like the... It's not really a remake. It's more like a reboot of Strider, I guess you can say, on PS4.
Oh, no, yeah. I want to, though.
It's really good. Is it's also good? Just as hard.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. The NES port is not really a port. It's a completely different game. We've talked about that in the podcast before.
Yeah.
The Genesis port is freaking that gorgeous.
Almost the...
And then Strider Returns, which is part two on the Genesis, is also gorgeous.
Now, was that an arcade game as well or no?
I believe Strider Returns. Let me see.
Is there a flying battleship in this? I have to play the arcade game.
Because that would be an interesting game to look into, Shane.
Yes, it's Strider 2, 1990.
If we can get that back to back, I wonder how the side art looks on that. It's probably impossible to find.
And then we get the
reboot on the side art looks like
on the console next to all that.
That'd be great.
But also, I'm going to venture to say that it's going to be impossible for me to find a port set for this game.
Yeah.
Like, this is probably...
Can we look up gameplay?
Yeah, of course we can. So you're on a this is floating battleship and flying battleship, whatever, and Strider, dinosaurs.
Oh, going dinosaur alert?
I can't get past the first.
But
boss.
Dude, you get this mechanical saber-toothed tiger.
That's pretty awesome.
As like your partner.
Yeah,
it's like
what other game has that?
It's really
dope
cool
as hell.
And then when like you can, also in the first stage you have like the robots that. Like wrap around you to protect you, the drones almost.
Okay. The drone, really cool. The drone eagle and stuff like that. Strider 2 arcade. Somebody put this out there. It says 6 years ago on the YouTube.
From Insert Coin.
This is going to be beautiful because, I'm already going to say it. This is going to be beautiful. Select your mission. This can't be. This can't
this?
Be the arcade version.
This is not an arcade game. This is like a PS1 game.
Yeah, that's true.
At least I would hope. If that's an arcade game, that's weird. Yeah, Strider 2 on the PS1.
Strider, arcade long play Strider 2. Maybe this is it?
No. This is the same one.
This is it.
Huh. Oh, wow.
That's weird.
Okay, this looks kind of weird, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you stop breathing in the mic?
Oh. No.
I gotta say, the new one that came out on the newer generations.
On PS4, huh?
Yeah, fairly looks similar to this, except more crispy.
Is it side-scroller?
Yeah.
I don't know if I like this.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, this is very, like Symphony of the Night, like...
Yeah. But let me see now Strider Returns.
Yeah, like those PlayStation Castlevania games.
Yeah.
Which, I mean...
Which
great.
Are good,
yeah,
but
PlayStation
they have a look
to games,
them.
But they have a very weird look.
Can we just talk about though? So the Genesis port is fantastic. The box art is
garbage. Yeah.
So now this is Strider Returns on Genesis. This plays exactly like the first Zack, and when you see it here in a second,
game is also pretty expensive nowadays. If you're trying to look for it,
no, really.
That's why. Bought mine super, super, super early years ago because I really wanted it. And I think I got a copy for the Strider 2 or Strider Returns on Genesis. I think I got my copy for like $30. But this is what it plays like.
It's really
so
nice.
So now that plays very similar to the first one. A lot better than the arcade version of Strider 2. It looks like Strider.
Yep.
Feels like Strider.
This
is Strider.
This is Strider.
Yeah.
Strider 2 doesn't even
look
like Strider.
Look up the new one.
Yeah, Strider PS4, you said?
Yeah.
I haven't seen this yet, so...
Ooh.
This is Strider 2014?
Mm-hmm. This looks interesting.
But I don't want to walk through with somebody commenting, though.
I mean,
The gameplay trail is okay.
The Genesis ports aren't that expensive if Strider Returns. I mean, this looks like a fake cartridge, but it's going for $20. Oh, yeah, it could.
Oh, this is a remake, Jose.
Oh, is it?
Dude, this looks like a. a really that looks souped up sick. Ring. Is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks sick as hell.
The first level, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like they did this with Castlevania, I know, where it's like a really nice looking, but it's still 2D.
Is this physical or just downloadable?
It's both, I believe.
This is awesome. I like this.
But I believe the physical was like a limited edition, like certain amount released.
Okay.
This is beautiful.
Yeah, it's really cool.
The sound effects are fantastic.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, but the level design is also slightly different, so like it feels like a whole different game.
Hmm.
I'm gonna have to pick this up. Okay, cool. So again, like I said, that may have been controversial.
It's pretty sweet.
But now another game, we'll fast forward a little bit, definitely war game, Cold War influenced, is a game called Missing in Action by Konami. So let's look up some
another gameplay. Konami game.
Huh?
Another Konami game.
Another Konami game, but now if you guys look at the gameplay, you're going to be
I've played this one.
They basically just ripped off themselves over and over and over again. Konami's just taking bits and pieces from everywhere. So that's bits and pieces right there. That mountainscape is Russian attack, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like literally Russian attack blended with...
The first level is also very similar to the first level of Russian attack.
It's basically Russian attack.
Like, it's the same controls.
Now it's starting to resemble Metal Slug.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Like the running animation.
I mean, also, this is 1989. Like, did this do well? Because this does not look that impressive for 89.
No, it doesn't do well at all. It virtually disappears from arcades. I think it's probably a Jamma board.
Okay.
This is
awfully...
If I'm
not mistaken, so it was a swap in.
Right.
And slow.
I don't think it was appreciated at all, again, because it's 89.
I mean, it looks kind of cool. Like, there's
like
a lot of stuff going around in the background.
Look, you're a Green Beret. You're, going after missing troops that are being held captive in
just underwhelming
a communist country.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so, I feel like by 89,
it's underwhelming.
You have like Streets of Rage and stuff like that. It's
too slow. So I'll look at that.
You probably have the metal.
It's a real
too.
It's a real hard.
You're
copy
in the gulag
now.
So no,
and
I mean,
they failed at that. Like
it's like you're in
the jungle.
You're in Russia in the first stage. Now you're in Vietnam. You're just basically beating up on the commies to get the missing action guys back home.
Very Rambo 2 again.
Very Rambo again. Super underwhelming.
They made another Rambo game that's
I
not Rambo.
Did not ever care for that game.
Yeah.
I still do not.
I've played it a couple times, but...
A game I do remember fondly in the arcades, and we had one, and I got rid of it, and I've always wanted to get it back, is POW, Prisoners of War. This, again, is an SNK game. It's going back to SNK, and this, I believe, is 88. It's just you are if you play a two-player, Prisoners of War, and you break out of a prison camp. You're a Rambo or you're either an Arnold Schwarzenegger guy or a Sylvester Stallone guy. The animation is beautiful for 88, but it's a typical run and slash, hack and slash, typical side-scrolling beat-em-up game set in, like I said, a prisoner of war camp at the start, and you break out, and you're just, killing all the commies, basically. Everyone is trying to, either kill you or put you back in prison. Again, very military war driven, super Cold War driven. You're in the jungle. They're dropping guys down from helicopters. You got to shoot them and kill them.
Now, this feels more of like a side scroller commando now.
Yeah, this also feels like a mix of like Streets of Rage a bit. Too.
Yeah.
Everything's coming out of commando and everything's coming out of this beat 'em up genre that Streets of Rage and Final Fight, Golden Axe are starting at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah, because you. you're kind of side-scrolling, but also every once in a while the screen will stop and you have to defeat all the enemies on screen. So,
which is very Double Dragon-esque.
Yeah.
Again, you know, a year after Double Dragon, this is released.
Yeah.
So beat-em-up genre and the commando genre are huge, and they're still going. But I do like this game, and the NES port for this game is pretty damn good.
See, this is also a way better-looking game than... than the Missing in Action one that we looked at. Like,
yeah.
And this is what, a year before?
Yeah, and a year before.
And this just looks much better.
This game looks
and
really,
much more
really, really,
like,
really
interesting.
Good. Like, super nice.
Yeah.
And I really like it. Now, another game that might be controversial for me to say, and I'm only saying it because of the date it came out at, because it came out in 1987, and we own one.
Yeah.
But is this considered a Cold War game because of the date and because you're flying F-14s, and that is Sega's Afterburner?
Yeah.
Is that a Cold War game or not?
I mean, 87?
87, you're flying an F-14.
You're probably shooting down MiGs.
Are you shooting that? Right. Are we shooting down MiGs in this game?
Let's see. Oh, yeah. Those
yeah,
are MiGs.
Those are MiGs.
Those look exactly like MiGs.
So this is...
like MiG-25s.
Good old US
yeah.
Bay?
Yeah.
Yep.
America? Beating up on the Russians?
Yeah.
Game is not fun to play.
No, you know, I hate the joystick on that.
I don't like it.
And here's the thing, guys. Because it's got that shaking thing
yeah.
in the cabinet.
Yeah. Oh.
So I had to disarm that. Because it kept shaking the chassis loose on the monitor. I kept blowing the chassis out, and we kept having to repair it because the shaking was so much, it kept shaking the cap.
It was so aggressive.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
I mean, that cockpit looks insane.
Now, I'm going to show you this. Now, bonus points for who's going to tell me. So this is the moving cockpit version
that,
of this freaking game.
That would be so cool.
Whoa.
I so want one of those. I want to put that in
my house. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, the seat moves and then
that.
The entire
no,
cockpit
I like that.
Moves.
I want that for my house. Mm-hmm. Like, look at that. You're going up and down.
I mean, that's dope as
you have
hell.
A little,
that is really
dude,
crazy.
They had to put a little safety harness. Right.
Yeah.
So you can already tell me where it was, but if you didn't see that,
yeah.
It's in Terminator 2. Yeah. Edward Furlong is playing it in the arcade. So whoever was going to tell me that was going to get some bonus points for life, but... you all saw it anyway.
Yeah.
But that, now I don't know if I've ever seen one of these.
I've never seen one.
Cockpits come up for sale. I
be
don't
a,
even
be
want
a
to
fortune.
Guess
it would
be
an absolute
be.
Fortune.
That would also be a
I
nightmare
know,
to move.
I know I that the Sinistar cabinet. Cockpits that we saw in Gallop and Ghost go for $10,000.
And those don't
a Star
move.
War, and they don't yeah. move. Star Wars cockpits go for $7,000 or $8,000, maybe yeah. even more.
Now, let alone this being
now this yeah. thing moves.
Let alone this
dude,
being a
imagine
nightmare.
Trying to fix this.
Oh, it'd be a nightmare,
dude. Let alone trying to
I don't
fix
think
it.
We couldn't.
And it being a nightmare to move, what about the electric on this?
Yeah.
That thing's going to
yeah.
pull
I mean, it's got
electric.
Like four motors in it that can
yeah.
move
good
like 250
God.
Pounds.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the only cabinet that I've ever played that was similar to that, that had the motion, was at Galloping Ghost. It was some racing like simulator.
Oh, yeah.
And it had like a platform like that. And when you would drive... like and you'd make like a left or something, it would have a banked turn and then you would just stay banked for like the whole turn and then you'd you know level
okay.
out. But if you wanted to, you could just be like stupid and then just like drive off course and it would just
yeah.
go crazy.
That was funny.
Well that like that reminds me of those like terrible 90s, like all the jet ski racing
oh,
games.
Yeah.
Oh
you're
yeah.
riding on the jet yeah. ski and it like tilts back and forth.
So
you've got
the
fiberglass
game I
want to
talk
ski.
About and the final game of this Cold War Arcade
yeah, yeah.
podcast
Cold
is going
War, part
to be
one.
SNK's 1987, and I remember this game fondly. I love this game. I believe I have it on NES now as well. If I don't, I'm going to go out and buy it this weekend.
Nice.
Check my collection. Okay. And that is okay. Guerrilla War. Guerrilla War follows
another
the adventures
SNK
of
game.
Two unnamed rebel commandos, which are actually... in the Japanese version is Che Guevara and freaking Fidel Castro.
No way.
Oh, my God.
In the Japanese version, it's literally
that's
Che
so good.
And Uncle Fidelito.
Yeah.
In the Japanese version.
Yeah. Where's
that's
funny.
I mean, honestly, like, so as they raid an unnamed Caribbean island in order to free it from the
yeah,
rule
an
unnamed
Caribbean island.
tyrannical dictator.
I wonder where.
Yeah. So, yeah, they name the two guys, but they don't name
so can
the
we
island
just
or
look
the guy.
At the, like, that's not Che Guevara on the cover art.
I don't I mean, that looks like Fidel, too.
Fidel as well. Yeah. I don't know what is.
Good old Uncle Fidel.
Yeah. Along too bad way, I'm not wearing my Shea beanie right
while
now.
Attempting to hostages, which with large score reductions for any hostages killed in the crossfire. You're collecting weapons from troopers and operating tanks. It follows the format of Akari Warriors. It uses... So I think we have this up in Building 5.
Okay.
Because this is the one we have that has the 8-way rotary joystick, which I believe is probably a 12-way. This might be a misprint.
Okay. I feel like we have to put this out.
It moves the character in one direction while shooting the other. The only problem with putting it out is that that cabinet is roached, and the rotary joysticks, someone like set fire to them.
Nice.
Oh,
like good. They're melted from somebody smoking on them or something. Okay. I have no idea, but they're mint. Pretty roached, guys, someone, so we're going to have to... Really
I blame Jake on that one.
Well, I mean, we could just smoke more cigarettes like with them.
Che Guevara Connection. As the original title indicates, that'll it's based it. On the exploits of revolutionary Che Guevara and the defeat of the Batista regime in Cuba in the late 1950s.
Okay.
In addition, Player 2's character was Fidel Castro. Castro, as he appears in this game, is ranked 5th in Electronic Game Monthly's list of top 10 video game politicians.
I love how they there's a list for that.
Nevertheless, fearing anti-communist sentiments in the West, SNK did a localization of the game's dialogue and instruction manual for its North American and European releases. The version of Guevara released for the Japanese Famicom is a sought-after item for many video game collectors. I know this. It's called
that
Guevara
is so funny.
For Famicom.
So on Famicom, it's called
for that
Guevara.
Game.
That's crazy.
That's
so.
Okay.
I'm just
that's
gonna
really
show
funny.
Some gameplay footage real quick.
I think you should show the box art for the Japanese version.
What like, was it just have Guevara's face on?
Well, let me see. Guevara
one thing I will say, you know, I'm a sucker for you know communism, but I don't know if you could call Fidel Castro a politician.
I mean, like he was literally a political leader, though.
I mean, he's a like, political a leader, but I mean, he's just kind of, you know, he's just kind of the dictator. Like, of
dictators
the
are politicians.
Dictators are politicians, bud.
Yeah, but like...
They're leaders politically.
Yeah, but they're not even trying to hide that they're doing bad shit.
That's Guevara Famicom.
Well,
they are
Stalin
to their people.
A politician?
Come on.
I guess.
Look at the box art for Guevara
that,
Famicom.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's
I mean come
look at
on.
How, like,
that's pretty funny.
I mean, we need that.
He's wearing green, though. I guess it's jungle camo, but yeah. Like I want to see him wearing full red.
Oh yeah, I want
even
yeah,
in
I
the
want
jungle.
The, I want the true red.
Right.
Che Guevara
so we're
experience.
Gonna watch some gameplay footage right
is
now.
Vertical footage.
Yeah. I mean, this
is
for say,
a
dude. Look
game.
At this. That's not.
No,
you
know? That's just an unnamed South American rebel.
No, are you kidding me?
On some unnamed island.
With a certain specific haircut.
Right.
I mean,
and
it's called guerrilla war. I mean,
yeah.
You literally, guys, you cannot get any more Cold War than this game.
Well, you drive
I
a
mean,
tank.
The main guy, like, just wears a beret throughout the entire movie, which...
Dude, this is the height of the Cold War. This game is the height of the Cold War.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean, is this look just at, not the Bay of Pigs operation right here?
This is, you know,
right?
It's just
look
the,
at those guys.
Is this at Guantanamo
hats,
right now?
Like,
yeah. This is flat green fatigues.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's in that revolutionary.
It's kind of crispy looking, though.
Yeah, I mean,
look at that fire.
Dude, this
thing.
Game in the arcade is beautiful, Jake. Yeah. It's beautiful.
This is why we have to get hours working.
I think it's Portugal's, and I think, like I said, I think the thing is roached. I don't even know if the board set's in it or if the board set's just fried. Dude, what did you guys say this was?
88.
Yeah. Dude, this game for 88?
Fight on.
Fight on
guerrillas,
attack the fortress.
Yeah.
Oh, that
no, this is not
familiar.
Che Guevara or Fidel Castro in this game at all.
No.
No.
You kidding me?
No.
Oh, look at those houses.
Yeah this is not Cuba.
Yeah, this is not Cuba.
This is literally anywhere else.
Yeah. So I want to just do the nest port, if I could see.
I also just want to see a picture of the Japanese box art.
I just did it.
Yeah, that was it.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
The green
okay.
Che Guevara.
Yeah, okay.
That one, and that's the one that says it's highly sought after. I think
right,
in the
yeah.
port for
I mean,
Ness,
I
kind of
want to own that now.
I think all that Uncle Fidelito stuff is like left in there.
I mean...
For Ness,
they probably just
good.
Took out all the names and then just like, whatever.
I mean, look, guys, for SNK to just change name,
yeah,
and tweak a little bit of things on this, and then release it in North America as Guerrilla War, that's a pretty ballsy move at that time.
I was
going
to say.
I mean,
yeah,
that's a ballsy move.
Yeah, no, that's yeah. Given the whole history with Cuba,
like, and you're going to tell me there was teenagers or young adults that played this game that were like, oh yeah, this couldn't be Cuba.
No.
I mean,
no, yeah. There's no chance.
This screams Cuba.
Yeah. There's just all the Spanish colonial style housing. Yeah,
I feel like this game single-handedly, you know, like got a couple like card-carrying Communist Party members.
But you see
like,
how he -5,000 -5,000 because he killed hostages.
Wait, he killed hostages and he got points?
He got minus points.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because you're supposed
to... Bro, this is communism. It's minus points.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, he lost his social credit.
Well, you're just trying to get to zero. I mean, you don't want to go over or under.
He lost his social credit score.
And
at the end of every level, they redistribute
points. I freaking love this game in the arcade. I love this game in the arcade, and I freaking love this game on NES. And I love it for its oddball.
Oh, yeah.
And I love it for its historical value. And I love it for the fact that it's ridiculously controversial, yet no one points out how controversial it is for that time. Yeah. Nobody talks about this game when it's released.
Every time you die, land reform gets worse and worse.
But, yeah, dude, but nobody talks. No one talked about then how.
Yeah.
This looks like a really cool game.
How bad this game would be, or how, you know, the representation of this game are like super duper controversial and whatever.
Because definitely at the time, this isn't seen as controversial at all.
But well, it is because
SNK changed the name for North American and European market.
That's
your
fair.
Your goal is to make sure Shay and Fidel succeed.
Yeah.
Oh, you make sure they succeed.
You're playing
as Che Guevara.
Yes, you're Che Guevara.
Oh my
god. You're Che Guevara right there.
Oh,
so yeah.
And the second player is friggin' Uncle Fidel.
I got so that's why it's the entire time. So it's the opposite of the Bay of Pigs operation.
Yes, exactly.
You are from
you're toppling Batista right now.
That's
you're
hilarious.
That's
Batista.
What you do.
Oh my god.
I mean, think of the historical just references in this game.
Does anyone show up in like red, white, and blue uniforms and just like try to take you, but then like their boat gets stuck?
Yeah,
or
can
something?
You get on the phone with JFK?
Yeah, but are they?
You are killing
they
nationalists.
Might, they may
promoting
have shown
a guerrilla
up in like
insurgency.
Black suits, and black ties, white shirts. Because they were like CIA spooks.
Well, when the CIA comes in, they're not wearing the jackets. They're just wearing the white T-shirts.
I want to see where the cutscenes are.
You know, when they get out of the helicopters, that's when you have to be worried. When the accountants get out of the helicopter, that's when you have to be worried.
As we speak about quite often, Chris.
Right.
Exactly.
As you well know.
Yeah, you're storming the Capitol as Che Guevara. I mean.
Oh, that's a lot of blood.
Come on.
No.
You're storming the Capitol.
This has nothing to do with anything. Mm-hmm. This is interesting.
Oh, like
I love how this is an SNK game.
This is an SNK game, dude.
Like, and I've never heard of this game.
You got to get this for your NES. You're going to
really
love
do.
It.
Because it looks like a good game.
Or if you can get it for Virtual Console, the arcade version, you guys are going to love this freaking game.
I want to get the Famicom version.
It's just a run and gun, dude. Super simple.
Chris, $500.
What's it running for?
I have no clue. I didn't
look it up. Somebody look it up. Guevara, Famicom on eBay. See what the carts are going for. Like, this is... Yeah. Super controversial. Super great game.
It's fun.
Let's look up what this costs on eBay, and then we will probably wrap this episode up. But it's a beautiful game. We're going to do another episode on more Cold War games because there are absolutely dozens that we did not get to.
Fully boxed, you're looking
fully
at
boxed.
Like 400.
Oh, so I wasn't off the...
You weren't off the mark at all, dude. 400. You were said 500. You were right.
Cartridge only, you're looking at like... 70 to 80.
Okay, but
that's a big drop off.
Thing
that's
about
pretty
this
good, though.
Game for Famicom.
No, I know
is the damn
the box. I know.
So you have to buy a complete box.
I guess I'm spending $650. Right,
it's like when we talked about Moonwalker for Genesis.
No,
the entire thing is the artwork of the box on that game. You have to buy the box.
So I guess I'm dropping $650.
I'm
shipping.
So as long as it ships
bonus
for free.
Yeah, as long as it ships for free.
Whoa, hold on. Can you make an offer on it though?
From five,
you know my offer, method. I was like lowball.
Offer him $7.
$7.
Oh, who are we? Is this the final boss in this game?
Is it? Is it the CIA?
Maybe.
It,
no,
that looks
no
like
offer.
That looks like the CIA right there.
I mean, that... that
I mean, he's
looks,
at the Capitol building.
Yeah.
Now he just toppled the Capitol building.
Oh, oh. Batista's dead. Oh, congratulations, you destroyed the leader.
Oh, my Lord.
Wow. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
If this is not promoting the hell out of guerrilla warfare communism...
This is so good.
I don't know what is.
Jake needs to own this.
Yeah, this is my favorite game.
You guys only know what a communist
is. This is so good.
Yeah.
Listen... They just want for the people.
Hey, Seamus, just so you know, my birthday is coming up soon.
The guy in the brown is like, not yeah. Fidel Castro?
Liberté.
He's Fidel Castro.
Oh, yeah, Markiplier. Let's watch his Markiplier video.
Yeah. We're not well, this is, since this is your account, I just want to say that you already watched this video.
Did I?
It looks like you did.
No, I've been in a big Good Mythical Morning phase.
Okay,
I've
just that's why they're it. All the
that's fair. They are pretty good.
Every recommended video is just Good Mythical Morning, and then them doing the international food game where they throw darts at a board.
Yeah, I saw they were trying international vegan foods.
Yeah, so I'll be watching that in the car on my ride home.
Sounds so good. That's our first episode of Cold War Arcade Games.
Let's stop promoting other podcasts and wrap up ours.
Yeah,
we're gonna wrap it up. We're gonna be back with another Cold War Arcade Games podcast episode, like I said,
because
there's a lot of them. But it's just interesting when I started peeling away the layers of the onion on this topic, how far it goes. Like there's a lot of games guys
to
talk
about. Guevara.
And now we all have to.
We're gonna do our own research kind of.